Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master at every craft. And I have personally appointed Aholiab, son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. Moreover, I have given special skill to all the gifted craftsmen so they can make all the things I have commanded you to make. The altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, the wash basin with its stand, the beautifully stitched garments, the sacred garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons to wear as they minister as priests, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense for the holy place, the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark's cover, the place of atonement, all the furnishings of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its accessories, the incense altar. The craftsmen must make everything as I have commanded you." The Lord then gave these instructions to Moses. "Tell the people of Israel, be careful to keep my Sabbath day, for the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between me and you from generation to generation. It is given so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy." This is the word of the Lord.
It was the first year I was a young minister, and I'd forgot my notes, and I came up here, or this is big pulpit, and I just remember I just started sweating. I was just like, "What has gone wrong?" And I was trying to remember everything. It didn't do so hot, but it happens to everybody. It happens to everybody. All right, we set aside beautiful things, especially for special events. We set aside things that are only used in special events. So we have some things in our cupboard, and I know this an older generation uses china a lot, but there are things in a cupboard that we have that I think we only use once a year. It's on Christmas Eve. Maybe if we host Thanksgiving, we might have used it Thanksgiving. But we're talking about the chargers and the china and the special glasses. You have two special glasses, one for the water, you got the salad plate, you have a little, you bring it all out and you put all the lights and your candles and the runner and everything, and Christmas Eve is special. Like, and we only use these things one. Think of the real estate we're taking up with that stuff in your cupboard, and you're like, "We just use this once." Well, that's a vision of holiness. Those things in our cupboard are holy unto a special use for the enjoyment of Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is the dinner that I make all by myself, right? I don't get anybody's help. And I'll make it all. Now I drive everyone crazy the whole day. Like, "Get, stay out of the kitchen. I need this. I need that. I need the oven. Don't put it in. Stay away from Dad." Everyone's just like, "Okay." But it's holiness because it's beautiful and it's used specially for the enjoyment of a family, right? I will say this is I don't think, and I say this about myself, I say this about a Jesus community, I say about this community, I think it's about the church. I don't think the church, Jesus' church, I don't think we understand holiness all that much. I do think this. I think we think of holiness as moral compliance, right? Like, I will be sure to say please and thank you during this day and avoid naughty things. And I will call that holiness. And it's drab and it's boring. I think that is our conception of what holiness is are you morally complying? And I think that is a very puny vision of holiness. Okay? One of my favorite watches, I love these types of watches. It's called a skeleton watch. And so if you look at a skeleton watch, I think there's a picture up here, you see all of the precise gears. And it's really cool how all of them work and how all of them work together to keep track of the date, the minute, the time. There's a stopwatch on these things. It's incredible. And we could say this, is it complying to the rules of the gears? Is it complying? Well, yes, it's so precise and it's great and there's an obedience, if you will, to what the gears do. But do you think that it is obeying or being compliant when you're looking at this watch? No, you're just like, that is gorgeous. And it only costs $15,000, right? You're like, that is a beautiful timepiece. No one is thinking, I sure hope it's compliant with those gear ratios. I sure hope so. No, you're just like, wow, sweetie, what about our anniversary? But compliance is just not it. It is a fraction. I think compliance is a fraction, and it's not less. Holiness is not less than moral compliance, but it's massively more. So here's this vision is, I want you to think of this. I want this definition to govern our time. Holiness is beauty applied for the deep enjoyment of someone else. Holiness is beauty applied for the deep enjoyment of someone else. This is a massive vision of holiness now. It is not gray, it is not drab, it's just like, I'll try my hardest this next week not to blow it again. No, what? Holiness is beauty applied for the benefit and joy. I wanna expand your imagination for what holiness is. So here's the first point. God says this, I am holy. And this is what he says in Exodus, starting from Exodus 31 or 25, and we're finishing with what Becca read in Exodus 31. And he starts it out and he says, look, I want you to know that I am holy and I am making you a holy people. I'm making you a holy people. And I don't hear people getting excited about God's holiness. I feel like it's perfunctory. Like, yes, God is holy. Yes, that is true. Yes, that is biblically accurate. Thank you. Yes, he is holy. And I'm going to tell you this. Only our deep, deep crackedness, only our deep, deep brokenness can conceive of holiness as boring, drab, gray, and just lifeless. That's our brokenness talking. Chris Million, our kids director, we have this funny thing, and I don't know how it originated, but we use it as shorthand for something, and we call it the Holy Handhold. And the Holy Handhold is a vision of how people view holiness. And we go like this. How are you? I am fine. Is the joy of the Lord with you? Right? It's piousness. A holy handhold is piousness, and you can't be around piousness. You don't even want to be around. I don't want to be around piousness. How are you? But you have to hold. That's the holy handhold. I'm going to trademark that. But I want you to get a sense of Isaiah in Isaiah 6. He is not doing something that looks like this. Oh, God. You are so holy. Isaiah 6, he is pulled into the presence and what is called the temple of God. And if you remember what he says, what does he say? We get a rare instance of this description of holiness through Isaiah. And he says, bad things are going to happen to me. What does he say? I'm finished. I'm done for. I'm undone. And he says, I am a man of unclean lips. I'm filthy. Now this is the sense here. And then what does he say? He says, you are holy, holy, holy. Now that doesn't show up in Hebrew. We see in Hebrew, a superlative is used double times. Like she had black hair. See, we use it sometimes in English. That movie was good. Sometimes we double it up as a superlative, right? And that's all that's used in Hebrew. But in Hebrew, rarely is Isaiah is saying, oh, he is holy, holy, holy. And everyone's like, you didn't need to use three. You could have used two and we would have got your sense. And he goes, no. I need to use three because it's beyond. And this is what he's saying. It's like in this presence of this beauty, like I feel ugly. I feel ugly. Like I feel gross. Like that is gorgeous. I probably will see myself out now. Like, I know I can't compete with that beauty, beauty, beauty. It's just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Now, don't you get that sense sometimes? Sometimes we right here, sometimes we can't even be around ourselves. And what I mean by that is this, is after you've blown up sometime, after you've made a mistake, that, and you could only be the only one that knows about it, and you're like, I feel ugly from myself. I feel alienated from myself. How much more before beauty, 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 Isaiah's like, oh, beautiful, 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 beautiful. Now, there is something that switches in Isaiah when he is allowed entrance. Do you remember when the Spirit of God puts the coal on his lips to make him beautiful? And there's a switch. And Isaiah does something that is so incredible, is he enjoys the beauty. Like, it's not like, whoa, oh my goodness, I'm out of here. No, it's like, he's allowed to enjoy it. And so let's go back to our definition. Holiness is beauty applied for the benefit or enjoyment of another person. So what God is doing is bringing us to a point where we enjoy beauty like we've never enjoyed it before. So in Exodus, this is what is happening. I want you to see this from Exodus 25 through 31, and you can study this on your own. So I'm giving you a macro view. Is God says, I'm your God who is a holy God. I'm a beautiful God, but I'm making my people who have been in slavery, I'm making them into a beautiful people, a holy people, right? But we're gonna need a place. We're gonna need a geography for that. And so I'm bringing you to a beautiful land. And you know what? In the meantime, you, God and man have to do business. So I'm going to make a special place, a holy place, a beautiful place called the tabernacle. And this is where we get the description from Becca listing these things. Listing these things that, did you know this? Is that the first example of the Holy Spirit occupying a person in the Old Testament is Bezalel. He is a master craftsman. And the first instance of God's Spirit occupying someone is a craftsman who says, I am going to make beautiful things. And all of his assistants come and master craft, metallurgy, and fabrics, and engineering. It's unbelievable. It's just like beauty. I'm going to give you temporary beauty. Because that's what holiness is. Holiness is beauty applied for the benefit of someone else. Okay. God says, I'm holy, and I think that you're holy and special. You're beautiful for a special use too. This is what we're gonna see, is Jesus himself is holy. And the reason why I say that from when we come to Exodus is because all of these things that are made in Exodus, the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the cover for the Ark of the Covenant, the fabrics, the dressings, the wash basins, the altars, everything is a micro vision of a beauty that is going to come later and completely occupy the symbolic imagery of the altar, of the wash basin, of the vestments, of the fabric. And Jesus himself is going to occupy that and say, this is beauty. Now, what's the problem? Like, you and I come to the cross and we're like, okay, sort of beautiful how it applies to me, but that's really whacked and deformed and bloody and weird. And so what we have, a picture of beauty is horrifying and lovely all at the same time. So that picture of a cross, I've been trying to, we got church offices and I asked my daughter to paint a mural for the church office. And so it looks something like this. It's the bridge. It's the Colorado State Bridge. And the reason why I wanted this is because I think this is a horrifying and lovely thing in our community. What do I mean by that? Well, if you've done any reading of your news feed or the LA Times, you will know that before they put the fences up, people would jump off this bridge more than any other spot in SoCal. That is horrifying. And yet, when you look at the architecture and the engineering, what do you say? That's beautiful. How can something be so horrifying and beautiful at the same time? And so the reason why I want it is I wanted it to be a cross of sorts in our office. Because it's a thing of beauty. A thing of beauty. Moses, who is in Exodus, he writes this. He's a one-hit wonder when it comes to the Psalm 90. And Moses writes this. He says, in Psalm 90, 17, he says, I love this phrase. It is incredibly poetic, but it's pretty powerful, especially because he's the guy in Exodus. And this is the phrase from Psalm 90, 17. It says, let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. Now, isn't that weird? Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. Is that weird? But let me tell you how it's not weird, because in Christ, his beauty is transferred to you. Wouldn't it be great to be able to tell Isaiah now, yo, Isaiah, his beauty is all over you. And that's really good news. That's really good news. See, that's what we have as Christians in Christianity. I'm telling you, we don't have a monopoly on life hacks and tips and tricks how to be a success. We don't have a monopoly on that. Guess what? We don't have a monopoly on being snooty and aloof because we're not doing the things you're doing. No, people can be snooty and aloof by the car they drive. You know what we have a monopoly on? The beauty of Jesus is all over you. And it has nothing to do with what you have done. That is lovely. Point three. God has said, I am a holy God. You are my holy people. Our task, our co-mission is holiness unto God. Now, I think the first thing in a Christian's life is that you receive and you meditate and you bask in the beauty that's been given to you in Jesus. I think that's job one. And it's a job that continues. But when people begin to hang around that cross, and I mean that metaphorically, meditation, thinking about, praying about, understanding, they begin to act like the people they're hanging around. Look, I just turned 50 this year. I am a 50-year-old that has literally had these phrases come out of my mouth to my children. No cap? What is a 50-year-old doing saying that? Right? No cap means like, no lie? Why do I say that nonsense? You know, there's a cultural phrase, let's go, when something good happens. You have a 50-year-old saying, let's go, yelling at the TV. Why is that happening? Because I am around the people saying, no cap, and let's go. In the same way, when you are rotating around the cross and trying to understand it, you say things that are really similar about people hanging around the cross. All right. I just want to buzz through some of these. If you are a doctor, Did you know that you are making things beautiful? It is a holy, beautiful, it is a holy act unto the Lord for the benefit of someone else. I love terrace farming, like in South America and in China. Look at this picture. Look at this. What's the next one, Sam? Look at this. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. You know what we can say? That is holiness unto the Lord for the benefit of somebody else. Look at that. That is holiness. It's special. Well, we don't farm there. That is a holy place unto farming for the benefit of someone else in a community. Let's look at something else. I am not this guy. I just want you to know this. There are beautiful spreadsheets. If there is a job that needs to be done, Melissa's just like, let's make a spreadsheet. Let's make a spreadsheet. If there's an event, let's make a spreadsheet, right? Spreadsheets can be beautiful. We can say they are holiness unto the Lord for the benefit of someone else. We were on a conference call just this, maybe about a week ago. I was with my brothers, and Melissa had made a spreadsheet. And it was for this event coming up, and they opened the spreadsheet because we're on the conference call. They're looking at it the first time because they didn't do any pre-reading. And so they're like, this is great. What are they saying? They're like, this is beautiful. All the scattered thoughts have been pulled together into a spreadsheet. It's beautiful. It's holiness unto the Lord for the benefit of somebody else. Okay? Our neighbors have, this is a labor of love that has happened over a 5-year period as they have slowly worked on their front yard. And all these indigenous wildflowers and stuff. And it really, especially this spring, it's really kind of come to fruition. The vision has come to fruition. And what's really fascinating is when you see people walking up and down our street, is they'll just stop. They'll stop. And if it's a couple, they stop and they point. You know, maybe not that. Maybe the phone, right? Like, here, get me. I did two hands. That was fake. You know it's one. It's that yard is a holiness. That is a holy yard. Why? Because it's special and it's for the unique benefit of enjoyment for somebody else. That's a holy yard. My friend who is not a Jesus follower went to the Sistine Chapel. And she came back and she had much mutual friends. We had this dinner, and she was just like, man, I walked in there, and she goes, this is the first time I saw it, and she said, wow, God must be really impressed with this. Okay? And she sort of missed it. It was cool because she was overwhelmed by it, but there have been other writers who were following Jesus, and they walked into a cathedral, maybe not the Sistine Chapel, but this is from Walker Percy. He says, my thoughts of God and Christ swelled because I knew my size. That is a holy place for the unique enjoyment and benefit. And you know something about yourself because of the scale. That's a holy place. Organization for your family can be a holy thing. Look at this sock drawer. That is gorgeous. That is a holy sock drawer. That is a holy sock drawer for the benefit and enjoyment of another person, a family member. That's a holy drawer. Expand your mind for what is holy. There's this, the ending of that passage in Exodus 31, it says, remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. And all of us were just like, yep, guys, make sure you don't work on Saturdays, okay? Or Sundays, make sure. Come on, close your phone up. Come on now. That's not a vision of holiness. What if I told you this? What if I said, hey, you're allowed to walk into a spa. Every week you have to go to a spa. And it's well scented, and there's lovely appointed furniture, and you have a hot soak, and then a back rub, and a heated towel. Would you say that was a chore? No, thank you. I wouldn't either. I would not. No, that is a holy place for rest. That's a holy thing. And we've killed it, and you're like, like into a new rule. Come on, stay off the laptop now. What? Rest is holiness for the benefit and enjoyment of yourself. Did you know that you can spend a Sabbath doing things that give you life, and it's a holy moment? Because God wants that for you. Have you ever thought about, you know, the art in, is it the Chauvet Caves in France? Like, why were they putting charcoal and berry juice on the walls when, like, man, I'm just trying to collect berries and eat some roasted deer. Like, why are they putting art on the walls? Buddy, just get out there and collect and gather. This inspired Picasso, by the way. Why is that? Because beauty was filling something that berries and roasted deer could not fill. That's holiness. Now, it ain't holy, 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 but it's holiness. I'm gonna quit, but you guys need this. I've built PCs with wires coming out of it that look like Medusa got in a fight with your earbud wires, right? But let me show you a holy PC. That is a holy PC. Like, look at the cable management. What? Check out the cable management on your PC when you go home. This is a holy, look at the room for airflow. That is beautiful. That's a holy PC. That is a holy PC. My daughter, she didn't know this, but I looked at my oldest daughter. She had her notebook in high school, and she showed me this matrix, or she didn't. I looked at the notebook illicitly, and it was a color-coded matrix of her schedule and just, you know, references to other sections and tabs. I was like, that's gorgeous. My son, this is behind his door. This is Jameson. He's not in here, by the way, so I can tell this story. I had to ask Melissa, is he going to be in here? I can't tell this story if he's in here. It was behind his door, and he had done a daily schedule, and it's really detailed. There's a loveliness to do this, to take the scattering of my day and to pull it into a schedule. That's a holy schedule unto the Lord for the benefit of himself and to his family. That's a holy schedule. Look at this. Look at this. This is holy. This is holy. That is a gorgeous shot. That's Steph Curry. That is a holy place for the enjoyment of people. And they're like, that is loveliness. I just saw beauty. Caitlin Clark, have you seen her pull from the logo? That is gorgeous. That's a holy shot. It's not holy, 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 but it's holy. It's holy because it's beautiful. I think hopefully in your mind, you're like, Tim, I sort of am getting the point now. You know, surfers used to say, dude, that was a righteous wave, bruh. Snowboarder, that was righteous, homie. What if you could start in your mind, that was holy, bruh. You don't have to say that out loud to your friends. I don't think that's going to catch on. But it could catch on into your heart. That's holy, bruh. That is holy. It can. What if you went to work and you're like, I'm going to make this beautiful for the benefit of my coworkers. That's holy. I'm going to end with this. We were working with the materially poor in a city that is not here at my a previous call. And so we invited a speaker and an author. His name is Brian Fickert. Steve, he wrote a book with Steve Corbett called How to Help the Poor Without Hurting Yourself. How to Help Without Hurting. And so we had some materially poor people in our congregation. Excuse me. And so we asked him, he was doing a consult afterwards, and we asked him, we said, hey, where do we start when working with the materially poor? Single moms, just, Because, and he said, well, tell me about some of your plans. And so some of our plans were like getting them vouchers, getting them meager housing, getting them some canned food, you know, maybe some lectures of working hard and some community college work and navigating that, maybe some financial advice and budgeting help. And he said, and he was really kind, and he said, I don't think you should start there. He said, and he went around. These are high wage earning white collar people, right? PCA. Ta-da, surprise, surprise. And he said, you know, hey, do you need a vacation? Yeah, I need a vacation. I'm stressed out. Do you need a vacation? Yeah, I want to get away. Yeah, yeah. So he said, this is where you start. He said, you're going to give these families a vacation. But they're hourly wage earners, so what you're going to do is you're going to have to pay for the work that they're missing, and you're going to pay for the vacation because they're whole people like you, and they want beautiful rest. And he said, they just need to taste it. They just need to enjoy something beautiful. That's holiness. That is a church saying, we are going to bring holiness to a community because it's beautiful and it's enjoyable. I will have that. Thank you very much. I feel like a better person. That's holiness. And who? Who doesn't need some beauty in a desert? Who? Beauty, beauty, beauty. Father, expand holiness. Expand it in our hearts. We have just the puny drab. We need expanded holiness in our hearts and minds. And it starts with you. So would you let us taste the loveliness, the beauty of Christ himself again, so that we bring holiness to our families, to our relationships, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our community, to our jobs. Oh, Spirit of the living God, occupy us as you did that master craftsman so that we bring your beauty of renewal to this world. Amen.